North Rock Podcast.
Good morning. I started to say hola, como estas, so we could start that bilingual thing really early. But then that would be it for us, so we'd be over. We have been talking about the topic of incarnation, and for most of us, when we think that word, or when we think about the Christmas season, certain things pop into our heads. Donkeys, mangers, hay, Mary and Joseph gazing at the manger, right? For some people, they actually get stuck there, and we don't go any further. And I have a perfect example for you this morning.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR, as we call them. And, of course, my red-hot smoking wife, Carly, who's a stone-cold fox. Also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate, Cal Naughton Jr., who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. And it smells terrible, and the dogs are always bothering with it. Dear tiny infant Jesus.
Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want.
You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow.
Dear tiny Jesus, your golden fleece diapers with your tiny little fat balled-up fist pawing.
He was a man. He had a beard.
Look, I like the baby version the best. Do you hear me? I win the races and I get the money.
Ricky, finish the grace.
I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt because it says, like, I want to be formal, but I'm here to party, too. I like to party, so I like my Jesus to party.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja fighting off evil samurai.
I like to think of Jesus, like, with giant eagle's wings and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd with like an angel band, and I'm in the front row.
Hey, Cal, why don't you just shut up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant, so cuddly, but still omnipotent. Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen.
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 Let's dig in.
So sometimes that's where we get stuck, right? We think of Jesus in one way, and it doesn't really matter whether it's right or not. That's just the way we think of him. I think sometimes that maybe it's that reason that John in John 1:14 shares the story of Christ coming in a little different way. And he just simply states, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I probably have this. We have seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No donkeys, no star, but truth. Right? Just simply stated. That's what we're celebrating. So, but if you think about it and you go back, I want to drive this home a little bit. If we go back to verse 1, we hear, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, the Word became flesh. If the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, then God became flesh. The fullness of God became flesh. Jesus was fully human, and he was fully God. Chew on that for a minute. Sometimes we water it down when we start thinking about the Christmas story, or we start thinking about who Jesus is. But he was fully God. I love that. But even as much as I love that, for me, that's not the really exciting part of the message. It's in the next sentence. It's that it is that he made his dwelling among us. You know, we get lost sometimes on why he came. You know, we have all these reasons, and we boil it down really, really, really small. But it says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. I don't know if you guys have ever had anybody dwell among you. Which is, and for those Echo Host families, I don't want a big amen. Am I too far? I don't know where I'm at with this, Andrew. Okay. But the word for dwelt, we'll go there in a minute. But it's a different thing than a visit. You know, for a visit, when somebody comes for a visit, we can put on our little hostess attitude and we can host them and everything goes really, really well. But when somebody dwells with you, it's a whole different ballgame, right? It's a revelation a day, if we're honest. You know, we begin to know them. We know their habits. We know their character. We know their personality. And they know ours, right? We've had people, both family and non-family, live with us. And the people who weren't family were family by the end. Because there's no way you can hide for that long. Because we've been dwelt with. We've been dwelling together. Tiffany, my daughter, is coming home for Christmas, and I talk to her every day. I talk to her every day, so it's not like we're not in communication. It's not like I don't know what's going on with her. She doesn't know what's going on with me, but I can't wait to dwell with her. I want to see her in the morning. I want to stay up late talking. I have some projects I'm keeping back because I want her to be part of it. I want to dwell with her. And the scripture tells us that he came to dwell with us. So begin to think about what that looks like in your everyday life. That he came to dwell with you. The word for dwelt in the Greek means to set up a tent or a tabernacle. That alone indicates that he wants interaction. He wants raw interaction. He didn't say he set up a place and we could come visit him. Right? Dwell. He wants to dwell. And the word for, and the word among is defined as in, by, and with. That's a close relationship. Right? That's a close relationship. Do you see why I get so excited about it? Because for a long time, when I was following the law, I kept him at arm's length. And I treated him as a visitor. I would visit him when I had a need. And I would let him see what I wanted him to see, even though he saw everything. But, you know, in your mind. You know, you could clean up really nice for church and stuff. I love that he dwells with me. I no longer fear it. I no longer worry about it. I don't have to think about who I'm going to be when I walk through this building because he dwells with me. See, I have notes. I don't even follow them. Okay. Let's see if I can figure out where we're at. The other thing I learned, and we talk about this a lot, especially in the first week of Echoes, is that dwelling with us and knowing Christ is completely different than the knowledge of him. I never go out with a friend and say, tell me what you know about me. Right? But somehow we do that. We prepare for Christ as if he's going to quiz us. Isn't that the truth? We worry about how many verses we know, how much we've read in the Bible. You know what? He wants to dwell among us. He wants us to know him. How simple is that? How simple and beautiful is that? He's not still in the manger. He's with me today. That same power. It's funny how sometimes we think we know about something until we start dwelling with them. I had a young couple here a while back that were getting married, and I kept saying to him, like, you know, take some time. Give yourself some time after the wedding. you'll have an adjustment. And I'm not kidding you. It was actually a couple of couples. And he kept saying, oh, no. We've been together a long time. We've talked about everything. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to be fine. We are so on the same page. It wasn't very long after the wedding. It was probably about 6 months. I met a young man for coffee, and he came in just a little rattled. And I was like, hey, how's it going? How much are you liking, you know, marriage? And he's like, I love it, and, you know, we're happy, and he was still giddy. And he said, but evidently, I'm more particular than I thought I was. And my wife was letting me know this morning that I needed to give up some expectations. Oh, so now you're knowing each other, right? You no longer just have knowledge of, and those nice conversations, because you know we can have those conversations where we both think we're saying the same thing and we get there and we're not saying the same thing at all. We had pictured it completely different in our head. The only way we can truly know him is if he dwells with us where we're at, in the mess, in our heartbreak, in our expectations, every single day. He sees you in the meltdown. He sees you in your excitement. And you see him. That is why he dwells with us. Do you see why I'm excited? It's been life transforming for me. I love it. And I'm sorry, I'll try to figure out where I'm supposed to be. Revelation is the act of revealing and disclosing, especially a dramatic disclosure, something not previously known or realized, an insight. And this happens over and over again. That's the other thing I'm thankful for. Because we're talking about the fullness of God. Do you understand that? We carve him up a lot. We carve him up as if he shows up in pieces. Right? God, send your peace. Peace is God. What's he going to do? Cut off a finger and mail it? It is the fullness of who he is that dwells with us. Isn't that good? But I love the fact that he doesn't just whack us in the head with the full revelation of who he is. But then he reveals it. He gives us insight. So one of the things that I always reveal more than I want to, but one of the things that he's been dealing with me on is the fruit of my perfectionism. And by fruit, I mean garbage. And I don't think I had realized how bad it had gotten. But it had really paralyzed me, especially in my personal life and in my home. Because I couldn't get things perfect. That I waffled between not caring or being just an awful person because it drove me crazy. Anybody else live in that house? And it was that was one place. But it was everywhere I went. Where I was either hopeful because I thought I was going to get it perfect, or frustrated because I knew I would never reach it. That was a cycle. And so several months ago, he started saying to me, perfectionism, he's perfect, but you're not called to that. That's my character, not your character. That's not who you are. That's not what I expect. What I expect is you to do the most that you can, the best that you can, with what you have at that moment. And I will meet the rest. That's excellence. It has changed my life. I'm still on the journey. So when you see him, he have a meltdown, don't come up to me. I know. But it's changed my life in so many ways. I began to look at my home differently and my resources differently. And even in the last couple of weeks, let me tell you the revelation. I'm painting a few rooms in my house. And I'm doing it. And, I'm a little older than the Echo students, so I don't quite have the stamina or the ability. And, you know, in my mind, I was going to paint 8-10 hours a day. And when my back said, you know, I think that's about all you're going to get to do today, my first instinct was to be frustrated. The Holy Spirit said, with what you have, did you do the best you can? Yeah. He was pleased. I was at peace. Right? Because I'm letting him be God, and I'm being Debbie. And we're fine dwelling in that. We're fine dwelling there. What was funny is, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to make two statements. I went to the doctor this week. I'm fine. It was preventative. Because I will be asked. But so I go into the doctor this week, and the nurse that the doctor's had for a long time, you know, hey, how was your Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. And I said, how was yours? And she slumped in her chair, and she goes, it was okay. It just wasn't quite what I had expected. Which, you know, then you're like, okay. And she began to tell me she had hosted it, and it wasn't perfect. And that she had even gotten to the point that she didn't have enough matching dishes, so she went out and bought all new dishes. And the pressure that it had on her. Been there, done that. And I sat there a minute, you know, and I thought, well, heck, she knows everything about me, including my weight, my, you know. So I said, you know, do you mind if I kind of share? I've been on that journey for a while. Do you mind if I share what God's showing me and what I'm learning? She goes, no, what? So I shared what I just shared with you. And she relaxed back in her chair, and she goes, I need to start moving in that direction. Here's the other layer of the revelation. When he reveals himself to you, it's easy to reveal it back to somebody else. It's so rich. And the other thing that happened this week, the Echoes and I were doing, I don't know, we were studying something. But and I wish I could tell you, but I don't remember which study it was in. But it talked about how a gift to pursue his revelation in our life over the gifts of in our life. And we pondered that for a minute. You know, I get told a lot that Tiffany and I have a lot of the same gifting. And we do. But you know what I love? Is that all three of my kids, even the ones that aren't walking with Christ, have the revelation in their life. Because I was able to show that. I was able to put that in them. So when they come to walk with him, that's already a part of who they are. Seek his revelation about who he is and who you are to him. Paul, who I love to read, he says it this way in Philippians. All the things I once thought were so important are gone from life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Done. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Is that what you want? Paul is talking about knowing Christ. It's an active status. Right? Because he reveals slowly as we're walking with him. Everything else just doesn't matter. So what's the difference? It's the difference between knowing about marriage and knowing marriage. Right? If you've ever been with people who've been married a long time, something will come up. And you'll see both genders. Yeah. Because we know marriage. Right? We know marriage. It's the relational part. It's those little things about me that he finds endearing and makes him smile. And it's the glory of who he is that excites me and makes me want to go further and make greater sacrifice. That's the knowing. The knowing actually changes the questions we ask and the way that we pray. We no longer pray for resolution, but for revelation. I love that. How many times do I enter into a situation and I think I know what needs to happen, and I know this much about what's going on? But when we ask God to be revealed in that situation, there's power. And there's everlasting transition. You know, one of the things, and I've used this example before, but it was so powerful to me, that when my dad died, you know, Devin had the audacity, one of our Echo students, to ask me how God was revealing himself. And threw those words back at me. But you know what was funny? That's what I needed. And he revealed to me that he was a vulnerable God. That he was willing to risk everything to have relationship. And so as I'm in the middle of family dynamic, and I say, I want to be like you, I had to become vulnerable. I had already taken my comfort in Christ. I knew where my dad had gone. His suffering was over. I was dealing with the dynamics. And I knew what to do because God had revealed himself to me at that moment. It changes the way we pray. I ask more often, okay, what are you doing? And how do I join that? Rather than directing them. God, you need to get a hold of that man of mine. I've learned really a lot in the last probably 5 or 6 years. When I ask him what he's doing, it's a lot, oftentimes in me. It changes the way I pray and my understanding of what's going on in the dynamic. What are you doing? And what part do you want me to play? Don't let me get in your way. I want an eternal work. It's a big one. I ask him who he is, not where he's at. So many times we think he's abandoned us. We're looking for him. It's because we're not looking for what he's revealing. We want something we know. And he's like, I've got something new for you. I've got something new for you in this situation. It's going to transform your life, not just for now, but remember that inheritance I talked about? It's going to transform you and your family and the generations to come, if you'll pay attention to the revelation I'm giving you. See why I'm excited? I love it. I love it more than you know. We learn that when he reveals himself in a new way, the answers to our needs are not just met, but that we are transformed. I love those transformations. That the work is complete and lasting, and his glory, truth, and grace are seen. He came to dwell among us. We cry out to know him more. The more I know him, the more I want to know him. Some of it's been painful, but it's been more rich than pain. We welcome the opportunity to have him dwell in us. We don't fight it. We long for revelation because we know, here's the kicker, that it's the truth that sets us free. Right? Ben, will you come? Sorry, I ran right up to it. It becomes a part of our fabric. Jordan, I don't know where you're at, Jordan, but I'm going to steal your thunder somewhere. Jordan wrote something last summer and sent it to me, and I've gone back to it so many times. But he talks about we know ourselves when we let God reveal himself and knit us into who he is. Weave us into who he is. Then the revelation of who we are is revealed. Let's look for the revelation of who God is. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I haven't even met this Christ, this revelation. We're going to invite you to say a prayer with us this morning because it's a journey like none other. It's a loving relationship that I want everyone to have. We're going to say that prayer. As soon as we get done, though, for the body, for those of you who know him, would each one of you Think of that area that you need Christ to come dwell in today. We all have them. Could be our finances, our children, our marriage, our job. And I want to pray over you that God will begin to reveal himself in that situation. That it'll be a situation that you may look back and remember the pain, but you'll also remember the revelation. Yeah. And that you'll rejoice in it. And you'll rejoice that he took the time and the effort to reveal himself to you in that area. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave. Father, I just lift up this body to you. And Father, I just ask right now that in those areas that we're struggling, that we're fearful, that we feel like might overtake us, I ask for your revelation, Father God. Reveal yourself to them. Father, begin to just shine your light and let them see the glory of who you are. Let them accept it as an inheritance and realize that the fullness of your presence is dwelling there also when we invite you in. I praise you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.